Thank you for downloading this podcast from policyreview.tv.
Well, good morning. Thanks, Aaron, for the introduction. Yes, my name's Seth Fleet. I'm an analyst at the Higher Education Funding Council for England. And I thought by way of kind of kicking off this conference, I'd spend some time looking at some of the patterns that we observe around progression into HE, mainly among young people across the UK. But then, because this is the Retention, Progression and Success Conference, have a look at patterns of progression for entrance to HE. What are their patterns of progression in terms of continuation, degree outcomes and graduate destinations? I'm going to focus on looking at these patterns through the prism of the polar classification. That's for two reasons. The first one being that's what I work on, and the second reason, that's what I was asked to talk about. So here we go. So what I'll do is I'll briefly just introduce the polar classification, and then we'll jump straight into the findings and the patterns that we observe through the polar classification. I should just say that the patterns that we observe today through polar, particularly through, in terms of retention and completion, are not specific to polar. If you were to look at retention rates for different groups of people, for example, through gender, male and female, or through different ethnic groups, you would find that there are also differentials in terms of non-continuation rates and completion rates as well. But because, obviously, I work with polar, that's what we're going to focus on today. So polar, what is it? Well, it stands for Participation of Local Areas, and it's a classification of small areas according to the proportion of young people in those areas that progress into higher education by the age of 19. Now, this proportion of young people who progress into higher education from an area can be thought of as the area's young participation rate, and that's how we refer to it. And it's expressed as a percentage. And what it does is it takes small areas from across the United Kingdom and groups them into one of five groups, or quintiles as they're known. And these quintiles are labelled 1 through to 5, such that quintile 1 contains those areas with the lowest young participation rates, i.e. those areas where young people are the least likely to progress into higher education. And quintile 5 contains those areas with the highest rates of young participation, i.e. those areas where young people are the most likely to progress into higher education. So it's a very useful classification to have. If you have the polar quintile of an area, you can immediately see whether or not the young people within those that area are relatively more or less likely to progress into higher education compared to anywhere else in the United Kingdom. The polar classification was first created in 2005. It was subsequently updated in 2007 to form the Polar 2 classification. And then in October last year, it was updated again to form Polar 3. I'll come on to explain a little bit more about polar in a moment. What I'd like to get across is polar is very well established. It's used for numerous things. From HEFCE's point of view, its main use, as well as monitoring rates of young participation into higher education, it's also used to distribute HEFCE's widening participation allocation to institutions. But various other organisations and HE institutions use the measure for different things. So, for example, the HESA performance indicator that looks at the proportion of entrants from low participation neighbourhoods is based on the polar classification. In the past, it's been used by institutions to target their outreach activities, and it, I think, is used by some institutions to aid in the admissions process via its use as contextual data. As I mentioned earlier, polar was updated the back end of last year to create the polar 3 classification. The main reason for doing that was the previous Polar 2 classification made use of information that was quite old, so we essentially updated it so that it was making use of the most recent information on entrance to HE and the most recent population estimates that we have as well. So the thing to bear in mind is that the Polar classification essentially averages the young participation rates within small areas over a five-year period between 2005. It's based on cohorts, so young people who turned 18 between 2005 and 2009 are the set of cohorts that you use to create the measure. So what does the polar classification show? In terms of progression into higher education, these are the four main points. The classification shows that there is substantial geographical variation in the chances of young people going into higher education across the United Kingdom. It also shows that since the mid-1990s, young participation in higher education has increased. Moreover, it's increased more for quintile one areas, those areas where historically low proportions of young people have gone into higher education. And the fourth point here is just an extension of that. Some areas of the United Kingdom have seen relatively large changes in the young participation rates. Some areas of the UK have seen relatively small changes and in some cases decreases in young participation rates. So I just want to focus on some of those points in more detail. Here we have a map of the United Kingdom, and on this map I've plotted each one of the 650 parliamentary constituencies as used in the 2010 general election. And each constituency is colour-coded according to the rate of young participation within it. So here red and orange areas, denote constituencies where rates of young participation are relatively low, and blue areas denote constituencies where rates of participation are relatively high. And the first thing to note about this map is that it's predominantly blue. The reason for that is that constituencies in rural areas tend to be larger geographically, and they tend to have higher rates of participation. It's quite difficult to see and pick out individual parliamentary constituencies in more urban areas from this map. So what I've done is I've taken the liberty to list on the left-hand side the nine parliamentary constituencies with the lowest rates of young participation, and on the right-hand side label the nine parliamentary constituencies with the highest rates of young participation. And we can see there's a clear pattern in both sets. Focusing on constituencies with the lowest rates of participation, we can see that they're all located in England, and they're all located within urban areas within England, and they're kind of spread throughout England. So you've got Plymouth and Bristol in the southwest, Nottingham and Walsall in the Midlands, and then places such as Kingston upon Hull, Leeds, Barnsley and Sheffield in the north. If we look at constituencies with the highest rates of young participation, we see there's a different pattern. Among the constituencies with the nine highest rates of participation, six of them are located within London, the other two being in Scotland and the third in Sheffield. So there's a clear geographical separation in young people's chances of progressing into higher education. The final thing I want to point out on this chart is just how wide these gaps can be. So if we compare Nottingham North with, say, Richmond Park, we find that young people from Richmond Park are five times more likely to progress into higher education by the age of 19 than young people from Nottingham North. Here we have another map, very similar, but this time the geography plotted I've plotted the rates of young participation in Scotland, Northern Ireland and Wales, and then for England, the nine English regions. And we can see that even at this much larger geographical unit, there are still substantial variations in young participation rates. So young people in London have a participation rate of, I think it's 43%, which is 50% higher than the young participation rates in the North East and the Yorkshire and Humber region. And overall, at the UK level, during the Polar 3 interval, remember that's 2005 through to 2009, the participation rate across the United Kingdom stood at 34.7%. Here we have the time series of young participation rates going back to the mid-1990s, plotted for each one of the polar quintiles. And we can see a few things from this chart. I should mention that the red line corresponds to polar quintile 1, the yellow line quintile 2, the green line quintile 3, the blue line quintile 4, and the lilac line at the top, quintile 5. So we can see, first of all, that people from quintile 1 have much lower participation rates than young people who are living in quintile 5 areas, but that across all of the quintiles, young participation rates have tended to increase since the mid-1990s. The thing to note is that from about 2004-2005 onwards, the largest increase in young participation rates has been among those living in quintile 1 areas. So we can see that back in the mid-1990s, those in quintile 5 areas were four times more likely to participate in higher education than those in quintile 1 areas. And by the end of this period, in 2009-10, that ratio had fallen to only, and I say only, but it's still a large differential. It had fallen to those in quintile 5 being three times more likely to participate in higher education than those from quintile 1. So that's a kind of brief whistle-stop tour of progression rates into higher education from different parts of the country. What I want to do is take that analysis forward a bit, and this is not something I can take credit for. This is analysis that's being conducted by some colleagues of mine at HEFCE. But what they've done is focused on looking at what happens to HE entrants through time. How do their HE outcomes compare for different groups of people? And one of the things that has been looked at is, are people from different polar quintiles who are fortunate enough to enter higher education, do they have different outcomes? And the brief answer to that is yes, they do. What's been found is that entrants from polar quintile 1 are less likely to still be in higher education 1 year after they enter. They are less likely to attain a degree within 5 years of entry to HE, and they are less likely to be in employment or further HE study within 5 years when compared to entrants from more advantaged polar quintiles, quintiles 4 and 5. So let's just focus on some of these results in more detail. What I have here is a chart very similar to the last one. It shows a time series for five cohorts of entrants to HE. The lines, again, correspond to the polar quintiles. Again, the red one corresponds to quintile 1 and the lilac one at the bottom to quintile 5. And what we're looking at here is the percentage of entrants to HE who are no longer in higher education 1 year after they enter. And we can see that there is a large gap, if you like, between entrants who are from quintile 1 and entrants who are from quintile 5. We see that entrants who are from quintile 1 are nearly twice as likely to not continue into their second year of higher education 1 year after entry. And that gap remains fairly constant through time. Here we're looking at the proportion of entrants on degree courses who achieve a degree within 5 years of entry to higher education. And again, we've plotted this trend for each of the polar quintiles. And again, we see that there is a clear pattern. Entrants to higher education from the most disadvantaged polar quintiles are less likely to achieve a degree within 5 years than entrants from the more advantaged polar quintiles. So we can see not only are people from low participation areas less likely to progress into higher education, those that do get there are less likely to continue their education into the second year, and they're less likely to achieve a degree within 5 years compared to those from more advantaged areas. And again, we have a chart here that looks at the proportion of entrants who obtain a degree and are in a graduate job or further higher education study. And again, there's a clear pattern, very similar to the patterns that we observed before. And it's also worth noting that the gap between quintile 1 and quintile 5, becomes wider as we go from retention or continuation through to the second year, through to getting a degree, through to getting a graduate job. So it appears that the differential increases the further along somebody's HE career, if you like, you go. Now, it's important to note that there are differences in the characteristics of entrance to HE from different polar quintiles, and it might be that these differences between, or in characteristics between entrants, that are driving to a certain extent these gaps in retention and completion rates that we see. So, for example, entrants to HE from polar quintile 1 may enter HE with slightly different qualifications on entry. They might perhaps have slightly lower qualifications on entry when compared to people from quintile 5. And it might be this difference in entry qualifications that results in people from quintile 1, entrants from quintile 1, tending to not progress as often as those from other quintiles. So what we did is we tried to take account of some of these important factors. And the three things we took account of were the age of the entrants upon entry, we took account of their entry qualifications, and we also take account of the subject that they're studying in higher education. And that allows us to calculate, if you like, an expected, in this case, rate of non-continuation across the quintiles, and then we can look at the difference between what we observe and what we expect to see whether or not people from different quintiles are more or less likely to continue their higher education, taking into account various background characteristics. So this is what we plot here. We're plotting the difference between what we observe and what we expect, given certain characteristics. The thing to note is numbers that are positive show where you have a non-continuation rate that is higher than you would expect, given certain characteristics, and numbers that are negative, below the dark line, the black line, indicate groups that have non-continuation rates that are lower than you would expect given these characteristics. And we see, even once we take account of some quite important differences between entrants across the polar quintiles, we still see a clear pattern. Entrants from quintiles 1, 2 and 3 appear to have non-continuation rates that are higher than we would expect given their age on entry, their qualifications on entry and their subject of study. And meanwhile, entrants from quintiles 4 and 5 have non-continuation rates lower than you would expect. So it's interesting to speculate what might be causing this. And one of the things might be that there are other differences between entrants from different polar groups that we haven't accounted for in our calculations. These may be things that we can measure, such as the institution that people from different polar quintiles tend to study at, or it may be something that's much more difficult to measure. For instance, entrants from quintile 5 may make decisions that better suit them in terms of the institution that they decide to study at or the course that they decide to study on when compared to people from other quintiles. That's obviously much more difficult to measure, but it's an interesting question to ask. Unfortunately, we're not going to get to the bottom of that in this presentation today. But just for completeness, I'm showing you the equivalent graph for those who achieve a degree within 5 years of entry, and again you see a very similar pattern. Those entrants from quintiles 1, 2 and 3 appear to be less likely to achieve a degree after 5 years than what you would expect given their characteristics, and the opposite is true for those from quintiles 4 and 5. And again, when you look at the proportion of entrants who achieve a degree and get a graduate job or are in further study, you see exactly the same pattern. So, to briefly summarise, what have we learnt today? Well, we learnt a little bit about the polar classification. It groups together areas according to the rates of young participation into higher education from those areas. And when we look at the distribution of progression into higher education across the quintiles, we find that there are substantial geographical differences in p- people's chances of progressing into higher education. And then when we take these polar quintiles and apply them to entrants and look at how different entrants progress through their higher education, we see that differences continue to occur, even when we take account of various confounding factors. And as I said at the start of this presentation, these patterns are not just limited to polar quintiles. If you took another geographical measure of disadvantage, you would find the same thing. If you looked at people from different ethnic groups, you would find that there are also differences. The work that I've presented today on rates of non-continuation, progression and graduate destinations have not been published yet, but we anticipate publishing those in, I think it's the beginning of April. And that particular report, I think it's a couple of reports actually, will cover not only the patterns that we've seen across the polar quintiles here, but also the broader spectrum of different groups of HE entrants. This is a shameless plug, really, but on the Hefke website, there are various resources available if you are interested in making use of the Polar 3 classification. Just follow the link there. And as I just mentioned, we will be publishing reports on the retention and progression side of things very shortly. Thank you for listening. I look forward to any questions that you might have at the kind of question and answer session in a moment.
Thanks very much, Seth.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from policyreview.tv. For more details, go to www.policyreview.tv. Please note that this audio is subject to copyright and cannot be used by other broadcasters or for commercial gain.